The JMU journalism team bring you the Liverpool Life podcast.
Hello and welcome to your Liverpool Life podcast. I'm Aaron Lal and I have the roundup of this week's news and what's going on across the city. On this week's programme, Merseyside police have launched a murder investigation after a man was shot dead in Egbeth late on Monday night. Merseyside police have denied that Liverpool's gun crime is out of control. The former Dead or Alive singer-songwriter Pete Burns passed away on Sunday after suffering a heart attack.
He just had a large personality, that was it. His personality was much bigger than him.
And Birkenhead comedian Pauline Daniels helped promote Breast Cancer Awareness Month on Clattenbridge Hospital Radio.
You know, there's an advert on the telly where the doctor says something about cancer and this man just hears muffled sounds. Well, it was exactly like that. I didn't hear anything. I just get involved as much as I can to see what I can do to help.
But first, a third runway at Heathrow has been given the go-ahead by the government after decades of discussion about airport expansions. The Department of Transport says plans include legally binding noise targets and encouraging quieter planes. Building work isn't expected to take place for several years, though. Bosses at Liverpool John Lennon Airport are delighted to hear of the news of a third runway expansion at Heathrow Airport.
But certainly the main benefit that we see is that connectivity, that people could jump on a flight from Liverpool, fly down to Heathrow, connect there, and then you can then go straight onwards to a whole host of destinations, which at the moment you simply can't do from this airport.
Merseyside police have launched a murder investigation after a man was shot dead in Egbeth late on Monday night. The victim in his 30s was found lying injured in Southwood Road, the nearby St Mark. Our correspondent Kieran Simpson has joined us in the studio, who has been at the scene. So tell us, what's been happening, Kieran?
Well, the police and forensics are investigating what happened after the police were called to the scene and they found a man with gunshot wounds to his head, thigh and buttock. The man died later in hospital because of these injuries. St Michael's train station has been closed and the surrounding area has been cordoned off.
So what does this mean for people living in the area?
Well, it means that anyone who's living where the police investigations are taking place have had to vacate their homes to allow the police work to continue privately and thoroughly.
And with the train station being closed, what does it mean for commuters?
Well, it's been a tough few weeks for Mersey Travel, to say the least, but they've dealt with this particular issue quite well. They set up a replacement bus service for anyone wanting to get to St Michael's, arriving and leaving on the same schedule as the trains would be. And obviously the train just runs straight through St Michael's for anyone going further than that station. So they've done fairly well this time.
Have the police released any information regarding to who they're looking for?
Merseyside police have appealed for any witnesses who may have been in the area at the time of the attack to come forward and aid them in this case. They believe that two or three men ran off following the incident and that it was a targeted shooting. And that's pretty much it.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
This is the Liverpool Life podcast. For all the latest news, sport and features anytime, click on to the JMU Journalism multimedia website, jmu-journalism.org.uk. Bookmarkers and come back often.
Now, tributes are being paid to one of Liverpool's most colourful characters, as Cara Hunter reports.
That's the famous song by local Liverpool legend Pete Burns, who sadly passed away on Sunday evening, aged only 57. He suffered a heart attack and had around 200 surgeries over the space of the 2 years towards the end of his life. Born and raised in Liverpool by a Liverpoolian father and Holocaust survivor mother, Burns rose to fame in the 1980s with Dead or Alive's hit song You Spin Me Round. After leaving school at 14, Burns started working in Probe Records shop. Today we speak with Jeff Davies, the founder of Probe Records, about Burns' life.
He is one of the funniest people I've ever come across. He had sharp, biting wit. He was just absolutely great company. he was a delight to be with. There was hardly a dull moment with him.
Liverpool citizens pay tribute to his life as well as his music.
I know that he was a character, fantastic character for Liverpool. He's had so much success in his life at 57. I mean, that's no age, is it? It's really sad.
He just had a large personality, that was it. His personality was much bigger than him. It's quite odd to think of him no longer being here, really.
Burns died just 3 days before his new album came out. His fans continue to pay tribute to him on Twitter.
In the light of the recent controversial vote to leave the EU, we spoke to the people of Liverpool about whether there should be a second referendum.
Well, we made the decision, we should stick there.
No, I don't think there should be a second referendum. So I don't think it should go back to the people, but I think the MPs, it should be debated very fully. And I think all the facts and figures should be set out very clearly for the public to scrutinise.
I think that we should, yeah, because I don't think that people were given enough information. I don't think people made the choice on why to leave the EU for the right reasons.
I know, even though like a lot of people would say that it actually wasn't very democratic because we weren't provided with like the correct information, but actually with referendums they don't have any requirement to fulfil that, so I'd say it's more the Tory government's fault than what the people have actually done.
Well, I don't think we should have ever come out anyway. Yeah, I don't think, I know they've had the referendum, but a lot of people didn't understand what it was all about, I don't think, and don't realise the implications of it, you know. I don't think they realise, you know, what it entails, particularly for the young people.
Well, it's not our best of three, is it? You know, we've had the referendum, you know, the people have decided. It was a million plus majority.
Of course. Why do you think that?
Because I don't think many people thought it was about immigration, was it? They give you the immigration card and said, you know, we want to sort out the immigration, but it wasn't about that.
No. Stay as we are. But keep out of the European Union. Let us go back to the United Kingdom.
Now you can also follow Liverpool Life online, and also with our print versions of our newspaper that can be found around the Redmond's building on Brownlow Hill. Free of charge, of course. Birkenhead comedian Pauline Daniels helped promote Breast Cancer Awareness Month on Clattenbridge Hospital Radio. Our reporter Savannah Wild visited the radio show.
The actor and singer appeared on the 20-hour takeover show to help celebrate 20 years of Tickle Pink. Tickle Pink is a partnership between Asda and Cancer Now who raise money in support of breast cancer through bucket collections, sponsors activities and product sales within the supermarket. Being a breast cancer survivor herself, Ms. Daniel spoke about her experiences and why people should take advantage of the mammograms offered.
They said, I'm sorry, Pauline, but you've got breast cancer. And I never heard another word. I felt like I'd been hit by a bus. And I literally, you know, there's an advert on the telly where the doctor says something about cancer and this man just hears muffled sounds. Mm-hmm. Well, it was exactly like that. I didn't hear anything. I just get involved as much as I can to see what I can do to help, because I am lucky. I've come out the other side and I'm fine. And as long as I've got breath in my body, I will carry on banging on about how important a mammogram is.
The two presenters from Asda, Ian Grant and Helen Seston-Burton, spoke about why they chose Breast Cancer Awareness Month to celebrate their 20-year anniversary show.
Well, the breast cancer, we know Clatterbridge is a centre of excellence for breast cancer, and with us doing the Thursday show, it just linked together like a jigsaw.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month globally. Like I said, we do Tickle Pink through work. And like he said, because we do the show on a Thursday, it just happened to be open the diary. It was like the 20th of October, it's a Thursday, that's our day. We're celebrating 20 years of Tickle Pink. Let's do 20 hours. Let's just steal the show.
That was Savannah Wild there reporting on the Breast Cancer Awareness Month from the Clattenbridge Hospital Radio Show. A two-week campaign has launched across Liverpool as part of the City Council's plan to make Liverpool the most active city by 2021. Fit for Me is taking over the city until the 5th of November, and it's an opportunity for the people to try as many exercise classes as they want for free. It's hoped that the initiative will inspire people to get more active. Advocates for the scheme gathered in Queen Square over the weekend to give out free passes, which can be now found on their website. Nikki Yates, Healthy Cities Coordinator at the Council, talked about their research into why people weren't getting more active.
As you could expect, there are a range of barriers, but interestingly, cost doesn't come through as one of the main barriers that people experience. We know that, you know, for some activities that are a bit more expensive, that would be an issue for people. But in general, people didn't feel as though cost was the main barrier for them. The main barrier for people was in terms of understanding the benefits of physical activity and knowing where to start. So the campaign really tries to address that in terms of helping people to understand what they can do to start being a bit more active and how they can fit in small chunks of activity into their everyday life.
This is the Liverpool Live Podcast. For the latest updates anytime, follow us on Twitter at JMU Journalism.
And if you follow us on Tuesdays, you can see a live news feed from our news studio with all the breaking news we've been covering. After months of construction work and disruption to local businesses, it's been announced that St John's Market will reopen on the 14th of November. Natalie McGill reports.
Renovations are still ongoing here at St John's Market. The historic market has undergone a 2.5 million refurbishment and is due to reopen its doors for business on Monday the 14th of November. The reopening will coincide with the completion of the 3.5 million upgrade of Clayton Square, which surrounds the market.
Everything's going to plan like now. We're on time. We're doing a few night shifts, so we're getting back to time.
Meanwhile, shoppers and pedestrians here in the area are caught up with the chaos of the ongoing constructions.
That was Natalie McGill reporting from St John's Market. Now, Clarence Malcolm Lowry, the Merseyside-born poet and novelist, annual work celebrations launches this week in Liverpool. Ottawa University Press launches new volumes of essay books on Malcolm Lowry's poetics of space. Nuamin Yadat reports.
Almost over 40 years after Lowry's death, the first published edition of his book by University of Ottawa Press launches on his celebration event. Language experts, poets and lecturers from local towns of England and abroad come together at Blue Coat Art Centre to celebrate the event. Malcolm Lowry is best known for his novel Under the Volcano, which is said to be one of the 20th century's major novels. The novel is set on the Mexican Day of the Dead in 1938. It is said to be an account of the final day of the life of the alcoholic ex-counsel Geoffrey Firmin. Dr. Mark Goodall, a lecturer at the University of Bradford, says the launch of this special novel connects Malcolm Lowry to the place of his birth. The event includes a screening of Lowry's favorite film, Mad Love, 1935.
Those with a passion for fashion were in attendance at St. George's Hall in a special event over the weekend, as Lucy Fegan reports.
Northwest Fashion Festival returned to Liverpool over the weekend for its third year at the beautiful location of St George's Hall. The high-profile event aimed to put Liverpool fashion on the map, featuring local and regional designers showcasing the hottest new looks on the catwalk. Alongside the catwalk, local charities and boutiques had stalls to increase business, much like Nicola Cleave, who runs the charity Worn By Us. We spoke to her about her aims for the day.
We get clothing from celebrities, from fashion designers, from people which have got nice things in the wardrobe they don't want anymore, and we sell them on for charities. So I set it up after I had a breast cancer diagnosis. So for me, it's about getting that exposure so we can get items in, but also in terms of sales. We're supporting a range of charities, but we've got Clatterbridge Cancer Charity, Cancer Research UK, Melanoma UK, Radio City Cash for Kids at the moment.
Local celebrities also attended the event, including some of the stars from reality show The Real Housewives of Cheshire, we spoke to Leanne Brown, star of Real Housewives of Cheshire, about the day.
I just think Liverpool is where it's at when where fashion's concerned. You see any like scout girl has got, they're always bang on trend, they've always got the latest thing, like they're just on point with everything.
The event was a success, with thousands in attendance over the course of 2 days, allowing some of the biggest new names in fashion to put their brands out there for people to see.
Birkenhead MP Frank Field is campaigning for supermarkets across the UK to give up their spare food to the hungry. It follows a successful initiative in his own constituency called Feeding Birkenhead. Nathan Archer joins us with more on the story. Can you tell us more about the initiative?
Well, Aaron, surplus food is what anti-waste campaigners call food that is good enough to eat, but supermarkets are not prepared to sell. The organisers at Feed Birkenhead told me it's food that is perfectly fine, but because of best before dates, supermarkets are just, as they say, feeding bins, not mouths.
Well, why don't the supermarkets hand out the food?
Well, that would be the logical idea, but supermarkets are reportedly very nervous about handing out food because if there are problems, they get the blame. There's even been stories about supermarkets pouring bleach over food bins to stop them being raided.
Do you know what is being done to combat this?
Well, founder Emma Wilkes and community engagement director Jen Doherty told me that it was very hard at first. In fact, they were getting waste and had to wash everything. Now they are fully stocked up thanks to major supermarkets like Tesco. When I visited the centre, they showed me piles of bread they had, and if it wasn't for them, it would be in landfill.
Can you tell us more about the Feed Birkenhead campaign?
Well, Feed Birkenhead offers this surplus food to local families for lunch during school holidays. Like any other area in modern Britain, nutrition is a real problem in Wirral. The organisers told me we're actually at the stage with convenience food that some low-income families don't even have working ovens to cook meat in because they never get used. Frank Field, who used to be the poverty czar under Tony Blair, is saying, "This fresh food is going to waste. These people will cook it for you and clean it for you. And you can give it to your children and even have some yourself."
Thank you, Nathan. Now, the one thing most people feel uncomfortable with is talking about mental health issues. This year, Liverpool had a 14-day festival to celebrate destigmatising mental health. Cara Hunter reports.
And now we speak with Dr. Phil Cooper, mental health nurse and co-founder of the charity State of Mind.
I work as a mental health nurse, and the death of Terry Newton, former rugby league player, in 2010. Two people wrote articles. One wrote an article to a rugby league paper, which I read on a Monday, and someone had written a letter to the same paper, suggesting the NHS and rugby league get together to do something to prevent suicide in the future. So that was the main reason why.
Dr. Cooper tells us his strategy and how he reached out to all ages and all groups of society to talk about mental health issues.
So it's just by using language that's easy to understand and makes sense to people in their own worlds, really. So people will talk about getting mentally fit, but we won't talk about mental health or mental illness because we might shy away from it.
So what do you think is the biggest misconception about mental illness?
I just think the fact that it's pretty usual in society, so it's not unusual at all. So we just try and focus on mental fitness rather than like mental health or mental illness, that type of thing. So we try and do it in a way that's not stigmatising. Trying to appeal to blokes by going to places where blokes will be, so like rugby league clubs, and it's an easy sell really to get into rugby league clubs.
That's Dr. Phil Cooper, the co-founder of the mental health charity State of Mind.
Now it's that creepy time of year. With Halloween just a few days away, there's lots going on in Liverpool and Merseyside. Tudor Manor opens its doors to those up for a terrifying haunted experience this Halloween. From this Friday to Saturday between 6:30 and 10:30 PM, you'll be able to experience a haunted house like none other. That's all for this week's Liverpool Life podcast. A special thanks to the news editor Lucy Fegan, producer Christella Twagarezu, and to everyone at the Liverpool Life team. I'm Aaron Lau, and I will be back for next week's podcast. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
That was the Liverpool Life podcast, brought to you by the JMU Journalism broadcast team at Liverpool John Moores University. More next week.